Hey, and welcome to The Living Stone, a podcast from Greystone Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. On this, the sixth Sunday of Easter, Pastor Chrissy's sermon was titled, At the Point of Exhaustion. Here's Lindsay Worley with the scripture reading.
Exodus 17:8-16. Then Amalek came and fought with Israel at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some men for us to go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand." So Joshua did as Moses told him, and fought with Amalek while Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Whenever Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed, and whenever he lowered his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands grew weary, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side, so his hands were steady until the sun set. And Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this as a reminder in a book and recite it in the hearing of Joshua. I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven." And Moses built an altar and called it, "The Lord is my banner." He said, "A hand upon the banner of the Lord. The Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation."
I don't know about you, but for me, this week has been harder than most. The reality of this pandemic has fully begun to set in, or at least I think it has for now. The long road to recovery seems to stretch on into eternity, and conversations about the realities of reopening physical campuses and popular gathering places seem only to present more problems than solutions. And the once seemingly realistic idea that we at Greystone might soon process into our sanctuary with a Christ candle leading the way and the whole congregation joyfully following behind, well, now that idea seems more like a dream than an actual possibility, at least for right now. And this grief-filled realization is just one of so many lost hopes about what this year, this particular springtime, this summer might entail. A final school year for retiring teachers and graduating seniors. Years of academic preparation and rigor leading up to a moment long waited for is now gone, or it's been reduced to an online or drive-by version of a socially distanced celebration. Vacations planned and paid for are canceled. Savings accounts become depleted as jobs are lost and income is reduced. Unemployment promises are delayed by long wait times and disconnected processes. The whole world seems to be groaning with exhaustion as problems compound and solutions seem further away than ever. Joan Chittister writes in her book on struggle and hope, "It's not so much the struggle that weaves itself in and out of every life that unnerves us. Defeat, we understand. But as it may deflate us momentarily. Rather, it is the bone sore, deep down, heart-wearying, never-ending weight of struggles, the effects of which never go away. That is what wears us down and turns our spirits into dust." She continues, "It's not the struggle itself that lays us low. It's the day in and day out tenacious clinging to the amorphous anger, the depression, the unacceptability of it all. That's what stands to defeat us in the end." Well, that about sums it up for many of us as we begin week 10 of social distancing and staying at home. All the positive aspects of working from home have flipped the script on our once over programmed lives. Now our calendars are wiped clean, well, except for about 1 million Zoom meetings. In our hearts, they're left yearning for community. These last 10 weeks are probably the closest thing to wilderness that our church has ever experienced together. So the reading for today speaks to us pretty directly. Today, we find the whole congregation of the Israelites in the wilderness as they're traveling from Egypt toward the Promised Land. They've been on the road, so to speak, for quite a while now, and they're beginning to grow weary. They've lost the adrenaline of the Exodus when the sea opened up and they walked across on dry land. They've lost confidence in their leader and their God, quarreling with one another. Just a verse before today's reading, they ask the question, is the Lord among us or not? Is God with us in the wilderness? And just as water begins to flow from the rock in that preceding section of text, which is the sign that God is indeed still with them in the wilderness, just as that water flows from the rock, they're attacked by the Amalekites, and they find themselves in a long, unexpected struggle for their lives. Moses tells Joshua to find some men to fight alongside him. And Moses, who was nearly 80 years old at this point, he chose some of his own men, Aaron and Hur, to accompany him to the top of the hill, where he would stand and watch the battle. Whenever Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed in battle. But whenever he grew tired and lowered his hands, Amalek would gain power. As the day grew long and the battle continued, Moses became exhausted. So Aaron and Hur, his friends, they placed a stone underneath him where he could rest, where he could sit down when he was tired. And they stayed close by so that they could hold up his hands when he could no longer do it alone. It's really a fantastic story, truly. One that, like so many others from the Old Testament, we read and we remember. But this time, this day, this week, when we read this story, it feels like a story out of our very own lives, doesn't it? I wonder how many of us feel a little bit like 80-year-old Moses, standing on top of the hillside with all the responsibility in the world and with muscles drawing near to the point of exhaustion. Maybe those muscles have been pushed to the limit, juggling the weight of homeschooling for our children while managing the work of full-time jobs, all from the same home offices. Maybe those arms have grown weary of the house. Maybe the house that's not so chaotic, but rather painfully still and quiet. Maybe we've grown weary of isolation, and we're longing for the company of friends and family. Maybe our bodies and our hearts are exhausted from the stress and the worry of being in an unknown reality. We're not used to living day by day, are we? It feels a little bit like we're running a marathon that we didn't know we needed to train for. We thought at Greystone that our 2020 marathon might be our kindness campaign. Do you remember that? Earlier this year, we kicked off our Year of Kindness, a 12-month plan for growing kindness deep within the heart of ourselves, our church, and our community. Together, we dreamt up plans for missions and fellowship and faith formation opportunities that would stretch us and strengthen those kindness muscles. We wanted to build our stamina for showing kindness in a year that we knew would be a little bit difficult. On our kickoff Sunday, we held wooden hearts in our hands, and we blessed them as holy reminders that we were called to be the people of God, that we were called to show God's loving kindness in our world. And in the weeks that followed, we turned these hearts into our offering plates. We placed them in as the plates passed. Each act of kindness represented by a small wooden heart, an offering to God. We hosted kindness tables on Super Tuesday, offering baked goods and Sola coffee to welcome neighbors to our campus as they came to vote. We read blogs that called us to consider how we might be kinder to ourselves, kinder to our families, kinder online in all of our digital spaces. We were just beginning to gain momentum. We could feel God at work in our lives, teaching us how to be more kind to one another. As time passed and we began to look ahead to new areas of focus, our creativity around the kindness campaign, it kept growing The idea is they just kept coming. What if we got t-shirts to wear at all of our community events? What if we ran the Sola 5K to support our neighbors across the street? What if we wrote, "You Matter" on the kindness hearts and just gave them away freely in our community? What if, what if, what if? And then, just as we seemed to be getting our footing, coronavirus happened. Our attention suddenly shifted and we started running a totally different kind of marathon. One that starts from our homes and not our sanctuaries. One that requires social distancing rather than large community gatherings. This is not what we'd been training for. I wonder if Moses felt that way on top of the mountain as he struggled to hold up his weary hands. Chittister writes in her book, "Everyone is defeated sometime. Many then quit the fray. But the really strong, the really committed, they don't. They decide instead whether or not the mountain is worth the climb, and if it is, no amount of wind can force them from the face of it. They endure for the sake of enduring. They live to finish what they began." A few months ago, we set out together to run a spiritual marathon because we believed that our world was in desperate need of a good dose of God's loving kindness. We knew it would be difficult. We knew we would grow weary, but like Moses, who couldn't have imagined the attack, we couldn't have predicted this pandemic and all of the changes that it's brought to our lives. But in the midst of it all, we have decided to stay the course, to face the wind and to climb the mountain. And whether or not we knew it, we're using some of those same muscles that we had begun to train in our kindness campaign. Hallway hugs have turned into porch drop-offs of sweetbreads and cookies and sourdough starters. Coffee and lunch dates have been replaced with Zoom calls and cards in the mail. Weekly gatherings on our church campus, those have shifted into deacon phone calls every other week or online worship or digital Sunday schools. This is not the way we thought the marathon would play out. But kindness is alive and growing deep within the heart of Greystone. In these and so many other simple acts of kindness, we are discovering together that we can endure this challenge. This mountain is worthy of being climbed, and we will climb it together. Chittister writes, "There is a capacity for endurance in the human heart. It persists even when every obvious avenue is closed. It beats with life, even in the midst of death. It endures, not because there is no struggle to obstruct it, but because it is precisely the struggle itself that sharpens its focus and makes clear its real meaning." Perhaps in this unanticipated struggle, in this unpredictable marathon, perhaps we are discovering our real meaning. Perhaps even as our arms grow weary from all that we're holding up and holding together, perhaps even in this, we are learning that we are not alone. Rather, that we're truly all in this together. So may God take our hearts and fill them with kindness. Kindness that will not stop when the challenges arise. But kindness that persists and shows up to support the arms of our sisters and brothers as they grow weary. May God bless us with kindness. Kindness that refuses to be diminished by the stress of an unknown future. And a kindness that reflects the very heart of God to a world full of people nearing the point of exhaustion. May it be so. Amen.